You're listening to KTSW San Marcos.
Coming at you at 11 o'clock every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This is breaking down everything in Texas State sports for you. Voice of the Bobcats, Grant Freeman, is joining us here on the show.
He's to be joined now by head coach of the San Marcos Rattlers, Mark Soto.
Bobcat head coach Ty Harrington.
Please welcome onto Bobcat Radio, Jody Stewart.
Bobcat Radio on KTSW San Marcos starts now.
Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Bobcat Radio. This is the Wednesday edition. It's a little different than it usually is, but I think you guys can I didn't want to say deal with it. Deal with it. No, but you guys can definitely adapt to it. This is Kyle Spencer, Brendan Snow, and Eddie Lerma in the house for you today, filling in for Miracle Robinson. Miracle, if you're listening out there, hope you start feeling better. Hope everything goes well so you can end up back in the studio where you should be, right here where I'm currently sitting. But today, guys, we got a jam-packed show for you. Some new information just came out over the Sun Belt Conference. Some great things are happening. I mean, things are really getting set into motion, guys. It's the middle of October already. We're almost into November. This season, I say this season, this whole thing is just flying by. We're already, what's next week? Week 7 of the NFL?
Yes.
Week 7? Wow. Wow. It just, so much going on. If you guys want to get in touch with us, you can definitely hit us up on Twitter at KTSW Sports. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please let us know through our Twitter account, or you can call us here, 512-245-FIRE, 512-245-3473. And if you missed the show, or you want to show your friends the show or anything like that, you can check out the blog post afterwards, or just some great content on the blog at ktswblog.net. There's a sports tab. I think you can figure it out from there. So check out the sports blog if you missed today's show or you want to share it with some other people. Guys, let's talk about some sports. I want to start out with Texas State sports, of course, because this is where we currently sit. Of the teams that have been playing so far, what teams have been surprising to you? I mean, we've got soccer going, volleyball, football action going on. Which team is really popping out to you right now?
Brendan, you like to go first?
Oh, by the way, guys, it's Eddie's birthday. By the way, so happy birthday, Eddie. We don't have a happy birthday hotkey.
It's okay.
Dang it.
Actually, I need to thank my parents here, my mom.
Well, you should, because without them, you wouldn't be here. That makes sense.
What I'm trying to say is that my mom had the choice to have me October 19th or Halloween.
Okay, well, this is on the 19th is better.
And she went with the right decision there. So thank you, mom, if you're listening.
My brother's birthday is actually on Halloween. It's either Halloween or the day before.
I don't know about Halloween babies. So.
Yeah. So, but we're glad you're here either way, Eddie. So, but no, since it's your birthday, Eddie, you get to go first.
Okay. All right. I'd like to say that Texas State volleyball.
Yeah, you stole mine.
Is popping. And I can say that maybe in the most happy sort of way. I'm very jumpy right now today just because I know that there is one team at Texas State that's winning, and that is the volleyball girls. They're 6-1 in the conference, and they go to Georgia this weekend. So with that being said, it's going to be cruise control from here on out. So my team, my favorite team so far, it's Texas State volleyball.
That makes sense. I mean, they really are on a hot streak, really taking hold of the Sun Belt Conference. Brendan, what's popping out to you?
Really, it surprised me, not in the greatest way, but not in a terrible way.
It can be in a bad way. It can be in a bad way.
Texas State soccer now losing four straight games, and how this Sunday comes down. Their season depends on the game this Sunday. You know, if they win, they get over Monroe on Sunday, they get a trip to the Sun Belt Conference. And it's going to be really tough to bounce back like that, four straight losses, and have your season on the line.
And it's a nice little preview for the rest of the show.
So much drama, right?
There is. There's a lot going on. And we're going to talk about all these different sports. We're going to talk about volleyball, soccer. We're going to dive in depth later on into the show. But for now, we're just kind of talking a little bit about teams that have surprised you. Eddie, I got to agree with you for volleyball, because this is not what I expected them to start doing, especially in the fashion that they're doing it. Without Jordan Cole, they're beating Little Rock and Arkansas State back-to-back at home. I mean, they do play them later on in the season. I'm interested to see how that works out. But right now, the dynamic of this team is really, really moving along. Guys, there is a football game this weekend. It is Saturday, and it's one of the big ones, not only because we're playing Louisiana Lafayette, which we're going to get into that a little bit as well, mm-hmm. The Lafayette name. And then also, this is homecoming week. So yeah. All the alumni come back, and we get to enjoy them and celebrate them and all the people that have passed through this wonderful university of ours. And so it's there's a couple activities that go on during homecoming week. They've got the soapbox derby, right? I think
yeah.
That happens on Friday, so in a couple days. What are some of the other activities that they have, Eddie? I can't
They have a spirit rally and they have a talent show. The talent show is at the LBJ Student Center. I am not.
You're not in it?
I have.
You don't have any talent? Is that what you're telling me?
Now that I think about it, what would I do? You know, maybe is there an eating contest?
There's nothing.
I win that game.
Now, if somebody could just like simulate a game of Madden in front of me and I could just call it, that'd be great. That would be my talent. I don't know if somebody would sit there for 2 hours and listen
bag,
to me.
Maybe a beanbag.
Toss. There we go.
No,
sitting, not even tossing.
I don't know. There's a talent show. There's a soapbox derby. Those are very fun.
The soapbox derby. That's dangerous, man.
Yeah.
That is dangerous. Those things are flying through. What hill do they use on campus?
They use
one right in front of the rec.
That's a big hill, man. I'm glad they don't use the one next to Old Main, but oh my goodness. Anyway, there's also some tailgating. Per usual, this one's going to be even more fun because it's homecoming. Everybody's going to be in town. Moving on from football, we've got basketball is right around the corner, and nobody is more excited than I am. The NBA season starts next week. Basketball preseason things are coming out, the conference rankings and conference players, preseason, all conference teams, all that's coming out. We're going to dive into that a little bit later because there are some names from Texas State that have been honored on the all conference teams. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The men's conference preseason stuff did come out. It came out today. The women's came out yesterday, and now the men's have come out, and I want to talk about that a little bit before we dive into some stuff later. It's not... okay, I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off. We are picked to finish dead last in men's basketball in the Sun Belt Conference. The way they do it is they get the vote, they get the coaches together, and they rank these teams based on votes. UT Arlington received the most number one votes, which then holds more points, and the team with the most points then is ranked numerically. UT Arlington finished with 140 points. They got 10 first place votes. Little Rock received 1, and Georgia State received 1. So UT Arlington is the dead favorite to win the Sun Belt Conference tournament or the Sun Belt Conference conference, and Texas State is the dead last pick to finish in the Sun Belt Conference.
I like to say that maybe Casper hopefully voted for us.
I don't know, man. I don't think he did.
I like to think that, you know.
Casper's a straight shooter, man. I really don't think he voted for us.
Yeah, he honors respect, too. So he sees talent, he respects it. So I'm not going to be the reporter to ask him.
No. We're just going to talk about it.
Kyle's like, don't go.
Do not do that. Because I don't want to have to pry you from your seat after the press conference after he roasts you. I mean, oh, goodness. That would be awful. But we picked dead last. Kevin Gilder-Tilbury was honored. He was a preseason third team all conference selection. I'm really excited about his season. He's a guy that could really turn into something for Texas State. And also later on in the show, we're going to talk about some NFL action. Of course, we got to talk about the big debate that's going on around Texas, Romo or Prescott. Okay, we're going to dive into that a little bit and who should really get the start. I've talked about it before on this show. Everybody knows where I stand, but I want to hear from you guys as well. And some more things, and we're getting close to our break, but before we get there, let's talk a little Texas State football. This will be a nice transition coming out of the break. So, this weekend, Texas State plays Louisiana Lafayette here in San Marcos at Bobcat Stadium. If you can't make it to the game, be sure to listen to it right here on KTSW 89.9. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. Right now, Texas State is dead last in most categories, dead last in the Sun Belt Conference, and dead last in, I think, morale, even, if they rank that. We're not very high on ourselves right
now. Yeah, we're first in being young.
First in being young. And that is extreme. That's such a good point, Eddie, because we forget that. This team, we're babies. There's a team of babies out there. They have not played a whole lot of college football. The only sad thing is Tyler Jones will no longer be there when this team starts to develop.
Oh.
And that is the sad truth. Now, it makes you wonder, what if Tyler Jones would have been here, say, 2 years ago? And then starting with Coach Withers all over again in this offense, what could he have been? I think that's going to be the huge question mark that stands on top of his career. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Tyler Jones and the Bobcats. But before we go, I got to tell you about a show we have here on KTSW. It's called In the Public Interest. It's put on by our news department. It's our new specialty show. Excellent coverage. It comes on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 11 a.m. right now. If you're tuning in right now, then there's no reason you can't tune in the Public Interest right here on KTSW 89.9. It is it's hosted by Jacqueline Carter and Dalia Jones. Each week's topic brings you community-focused stories right here in San Marcos, economic threats, and political issues and personal memoirs. If you have a story to tell and you would like to be on the radio, email the news department at ktswnews@txstate.edu or call the station at 512-245-3383. That is 512-245-3383. For more information, you can check out ktsw89.net for more information. This is Bobcat Radio. We'll be right back on the other side of these breaks.
Hey, this is Chris Nuttall.
And Robert Lowe.
And you listen to Bobcat Radio on 89.9 KTSW.
And welcome back to Bobcat Radio, KTSW 89.9, your favorite talk show for Texas State athletics and local athletics here in San Marcos, Texas. When we left, we were talking a little bit about Texas State football. We're going to continue that conversation. Game against Louisiana Lafayette. We've got some Withers audio that we're going to play for you here in a little bit. But leading up to that, let's look at ULL a little bit. Eddie, I saw your tweet yesterday about this. They're very, and of all the Sun Belt Conference teams, I agree with you on this. Of all the Sun Belt Conference teams, and in no way is this making fun of them because I respect it. They're a little sensitive about their name.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, they get a little touchy about it. I understand because it is, it is a very, they're a very cultural, a very historic school. They have been around for a very long time. They hold a very, their name carries a lot of weight, Louisiana Lafayette. They're very proud of who they are, and I understand that, and I respect it. So you want to get the name right. But they're a little touchy.
Yeah. So yesterday at the Coach Withers luncheon, I was looking at the game notes of the depth chart and see who's going to start, who's not going to start, and then I see a big box on the Lafayette's game notes, and it says, "Please do not call us the following names: ULL, La Lafayette, La Laugh, LLU, or just Lafayette. Not to be confused with Lafayette College in Pennsylvania."
Okay, so they don't want confusion. I can understand that. I can understand that.
Yeah, you know.
So if a representative from Louisiana Lafayette was listening right now, what would they want me to call them?
I think they would like to call them the Raging Cajuns.
The Raging Cajuns.
I think I was talking to the voice of the Bobcats, Brant Freeman, yesterday, and he was telling me, look, I had a interview with Jay Walker, who's the play-by-play guy for...
Actually, and Jay Walker will be calling in on Friday, so be sure to tune in for
that. Yeah. I was wondering if I was going to get him today.
No, we're getting him on Friday. He'll be on Friday.
So Jay Walker will be there on Friday. Anyways, he said, you can never go wrong with calling them the Raging Cajuns.
I think that's a good medium.
He said that's the only thing that he called them.
I'll be sure to tell Jason on Friday. Make sure. Raging Cajuns. Raging Cajuns. Raging Cajuns.
It's the Raging Cajuns. But when it comes to Texas State, I'm pretty sure we've heard our differences, you know. I mean, they call this TSU plenty of times.
Oh, yeah. We've gotten TSU. TSU we get a lot, especially when it's supposed to be TXST.
TXT. Oh, I've seen TXT.
TXT,
like
which
a text.
Which is basically short for text.
T-State, which is not bad.
No, I don't like T-State either.
T-State.
That could be Tennessee.
It seems lazy.
That could be Tennessee State. That could be any other state.
It's not even an acronym. It's too long.
Yeah, I mean, people are just getting lazy here. But
anyway, so at the coaches' luncheon, Withers also had some kind of miscommunication issues with a radio host. Not one of us, thank God. But he did had to clarify what his alma mater sounds like.
Oh, yeah, and this is Withers.
You guys understand it's Appalachian and not Appalachian. I had to correct the guy on the radio last night because he called it Appalachian State. That's my alma mater, so it's called Appalachian State.
right. Okay, we got you. We got you, Coach Withers. That makes sense. So we
call it Appalachian.
And as as media members, we should know the correct pronunciation for respect out of the team, and then, of course, because we don't want to sound stupid. And so, thank you, Coach Withers. Appalachian State to everyone is out there. But they are not playing Appalachian State this week. Thank goodness, because Appalachian State is very good.
Honestly, it looked like he was really looking forward to the App State game.
I think he's ready to go back. I mean, not ready to go back, but he wants to.
Yeah, they kind of gave the vibe that he was kind of looking past Lafayette, not to disrespect the Raging Cajuns or anything, but it kind of seemed like that. But honestly, Texas State is not at a place where they can do that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Eddie. And Lafayette has also had their struggles so far. We are only 7-point underdogs to Lafayette, and this is a team that has really had our number the last couple years, and we have not been able to have really any success against them at all. They're not doing extremely well either, but they've lost some really tough games, man. They've played an overall of 6 overtime periods, which in college football is a lot. I can't do the math because there isn't time. There is no time in overtime in college football, so I would say it's like playing 2.5, 2.75 quarters of a game.
Yeah.
Instead, within those two games.
Yeah, because you play a couple plays per drive in overtime.
Exactly.
So they essentially played hockey.
Right.
Three quarters, or what are they called? Three periods.
Yeah. There we go. And they've played some really, really tough opponents, and they had some bad luck in the past couple weeks. They still have a lot of talent on this team. Elijah McGuire is another one. Is a running back. Is probably one of the best running backs in the conference. I would even put him up there, possibly even in the country. He's extremely talented. He's been in the system for a really, really long time. 1-2 in conference for Lafayette. They beat South Alabama early on, and then they lost. They got blanked by App State, and they lost to New Mexico State in double overtime. I mean, what's going on with this team?
I have no idea, but...
And this is not a Lafayette team that... Because, I mean, 2 years ago, they had one of the best quarterbacks in Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And then this past year...
He was Showtime, yeah.
He was Showtime. And then last year, Elijah McGuire went off against us and destroyed us. And now this year... But both of those times, Lafayette was coming in as the clear favorite. The clear favorite. Not 7 point over. I mean, by a good 15 to 20 point spread. Now... They're only 7-point favorites. I'm trying to figure out what went wrong here. I think they're just a case of bad luck.
I think it's a lot with the coaching. Mark Hartsbeth himself in Lafayette had to change a couple of the defense kind of stuff going on. And then the quarterback consistency is not there. They do have Jennings, which is a LSU transfer. I actually like Jennings at LSU.
And Jennings hasn't played. Brennan is the LSU expert here. So
wait, Brennan, what did you see that I didn't see?
What is your take on Jennings?
Him and Brandon Harris, the same thing. They're just too inconsistent. He likes to throw the deep ball, but it has to be set up for him first.
Now, to be fair, LSU has never been good at getting quarterbacks.
Exactly. I was about to say that. I was like, Brennan knows.
So maybe I can't blame him. Maybe I can.
And that system is not set up for quarterbacks.
No.
By any means. I mean, it's set for him to turn and hand the ball off. Really.
Yeah, we're going to go from thanks Obama to thanks Les Miles. Les Miles, well, then he's not there anymore. So.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, we've got some audio from the coaches' luncheon yesterday. Withers was talking about Louisiana Lafayette and their matchup coming up this Saturday. Eddie, you want to set this clip up for me?
All right, so, Coach Everett Withers, he talks to the media about, actually, it's not about Louisiana Lafayette. It's about there was a controversial call against Monroe, and that was a onside kick.
The one that was, it looked like it was recovered by Texas State early in the fourth quarter.
And Everett Withers goes off on that. So here we go.
Yeah, we got it, and they blew it. You know, referees have a really tough job. A real, real tough job. The game's really fast. And sometimes you wonder if it's too fast for them at times. It also lends to why replay is really important. If you really look at replay, and I did 8 times, it ain't even close. The ball's 11 yards, and Lumi Cobbins got it. And they said it was clear-cut evidence that it didn't go 11. I mean, we sent it in to Steve. What's Steve's last name? Steve Shaw. Steve's very good at it. He sent it back. He said, yep, you guys got it. So they blew it. They missed it.
Did they look at it?
They did look at it.
They looked at it in the group.
They looked at it. They have to. They have to. And it was, I don't envy the job the referees have. I do blame the replay guy. I do blame the replay guy because it was obvious. I mean, it wasn't even close. It's not even close. We got the ball, so there were a number of calls. I think in the last 2 weeks, we sent in 20 calls, and something like 14 or 6 of them, 16 of them have been incorrect by the officials that we sent in.
He sent in how many?
20.
20?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I want to put it this way. Withers, if you're sending in 20 clips and 16 of those are correct, maybe you should think about a job in officiating. I'm kidding. Because he can, because, I mean, he obviously has an eye for this, but what? 20 clips? 16 of them have been overturned?
Yeah, and that's the story coming into this game, you know?
Officiating.
And you know, the Sun Belt Conference hasn't had the best calls, you know, in college football.
Let's be honest here. We're not going to get the best officials.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are all going to go to the Power 5 schools. I mean, the top conference schools. We're not, and I'm not saying we're going to get poor refs. I'm just saying we're not getting top-notch refs here.
Yeah, and I like to add up some numbers here. So there's how many games going on in the Power 5? There's five conferences, and each of them have 12 teams, right? Around there.
Right.
Except for the Big 12.
They have 10.
Which is another story in itself. So what I'm trying to say is that I'm pretty sure there's enough people in the United States that are well capable of being a referee. You know, I think we should have a surplus.
But how many
kind of like substitutes.
But how many people want to be a referee? I do not want to be a referee. That would probably be my least favorite job on earth. I mean, there's other jobs, but I would not want to be a referee.
Maybe not a referee for basketball, maybe?
No.
I mean, no.
Oh, especially not for basketball. That's even worse. Are you kidding me? Trying to make a live-action call like that? No, thank you.
You get the wrong call, you get death threats. It's
awesome. Yeah, going back to whatever Withers said, you know, it's the replay guy's fault.
It is the replay. See, and that is different. I'm glad he blamed it on the replay guy, not the official, because the official's trying to make a call in live time. And that leaves way for missed calls, because everybody's human. Now, the replay guy, while he is human, you're sitting there and staring at this tape for a good 15 minutes. There's no way you should have to miss that call. And if it's as serious as it is, if it's as blatant as Coach Withers says it is, then there's no excuse.
And I saw the game live, and there was at least 4 minutes of just watching the replay over and over and over. I was at a restaurant, and we were all watching the game, and everybody was like, yes, you know, yeah, Texas State, we got it, we're going to come back.
And that really could have changed the game.
Yeah.
Because they stop them anyway, and then they get that score. So you think if we can get a score stop and then another score? I mean, you never know.
Yeah, you don't have to throw the home maybe at that point anymore, and maybe you have a driver or anything else. Anyways,
instead, then you're playing for the win instead of trying to play for overtime.
Exactly. So anyway, so there's a lot of beef going on already with the officiating, and then against Lafayette, which is another thing. You know, we've had some rough calls against the Ragey Cajuns in the past. We've had a losing record with Louisiana Lafayette.
We haven't beat them.
We haven't beat them, yeah.
Plain and simple. In football, we have not beat them. I think they're 3-0. We haven't been playing them for that long, but we have not beat them.
We haven't
even gotten close.
I think football's the last sport that we
have. Yeah, we beat them in volleyball. We've beat them in
baseball.
In baseball. We've beat them in basketball.
Soccer.
Have we beat them in basketball?
Oh.
That's a good question. I'm going to have to look that one back up. We might not have beat them in basketball. I really don't think we have.
That's a good question, Kyle.
Their basketball team is pretty good. Anyway, let's keep talking about this Texas State. Let's talk about the actual football game going on. Lafayette right now is ninth in scoring offense in the Sun Belt Conference. They only put about 23 points a game. Texas State is still third with 27.5. I think that's because they put up 56 points on Ohio. And then, because, I mean, they scored 3 points in two straight weeks. So, I mean, there's got to be an outlier there somewhere. This has potential to be a really, really high-scoring game, which is what I think Texas State wants. Which is what Texas State wants to do anyway, is get plays, and try and put points up. Texas State is not right now allowing 43 points a game.
Yeah, it's all up to Tyler Jones getting in a shootout. Really, he's got to be up there and want to have his games. If you look at Texas State's wins this year, he's, you know, in the two wins, he threw for 893 yards and 9 touchdowns. In the four losses, he's thrown for 679 yards, 1 touchdown.
Yeah, and you like to think, you know, okay, is Texas State going to learn? You know, from the past times that we've you know, come not even close to the Ragey Cajuns, because okay, the odds are, and this is my hot take of today, the odds are is that Texas State has not learned anything from the past times that we've lost to Lafayette and McGuire. He's gonna step out and he's gonna be on the slot, and we all know what's gonna happen. There's gonna be a wheel route, and you heard it here first. There's gonna be a McGuire wheel route on the right side, and our defense might not even get through it.
I don't think that's gonna happen. I think this is a new coaching staff.
You're saying to the left, then?
I think I think Withers is a much better preparation than in the past with our past coaching staffs. I think Coach Withers is going to have this team ready to play. Now, matter of execution, that's a little different. I don't think that we're going to give up that wheel route because we were lined up incorrectly. I think it's going to be a matter of talent versus talent.
Mm.
And that is when it trails back, comes full circle to the, we have babies on the field. And I'm not meaning babies in a disrespectful term. I mean babies as in they have not played a whole lot of college football yet.
Yeah. We have a bunch of 18-year-olds.
We have a bunch of 18 and 19. I mean, I'm older than a lot of them. And they're out there playing football. And we look at these wins and look at these wins and losses and we say, this team isn't going anywhere. I don't think that's entirely true. I think this team is still developing and still getting better each week, but not in the sense of wins and losses. Like, you look at the game against UL Monroe, that was supposed to be a dogfight because we're not at the top caliber yet. This is a team that's in the bottom of the conference. We're in the bottom of the conference. We're going to fight them. And the fact that we were in there and there was a blown call that we could have win and won that game says a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could have put your head down after losing to Georgia State. And we've also put 14 points up in the first quarter in the past two games. And that did not happen 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. So this team is developing.
Yeah, and our defense didn't score any at all. So that's changing too. They scored two touchdowns.
We had two defensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, a young team like that coming back, they were down, what was it, 33-14 at half?
Exactly.
And they came back, you know, and they had a chance to win it on a Hail Mary.
It's these tiny lapses in the middle of the game that really end up hurting Texas State in the end. Like you said, they gave up 23 points in the second quarter without adjusting or making an offensive play. That's a building point. You got to keep looking ahead. I never thought that we were fighting for a bowl spot this year anyway. This is obviously a rebuilding year, and we have to continue to be that way. And so everybody out there, Texas State fans, be patient. Be mm-hmm. patient with these teams. So let's talk about a final consensus. Do we beat the Raging Cajuns?
I say no.
Okay, Brendan?
I'd say it's going to be close, though, by a field goal or something.
Oh, you're saying by a field goal?
Yeah.
Okay, Brendan?
I mean, I'm obviously hoping so, but I haven't seen enough yet to comfortably say they're going to win.
Okay.
I say we're going to miss it, too.
Oh, I don't say that. Oh, man, I'd rather get blown out, Eddie. Don't say that.
You never know, it's homecoming.
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe the crowd plays a big role.
I'm taking everything in factor here. There's homecoming. It's going to be a lot of excitement. The last time we played at home, they played really well against Incarnate Word. Granted, it was Incarnate Word. But, hey, Bobcat Stadium might do something different here. I'm expecting a pretty decent turnout to Lafayette. We had a pretty decent turnout last year to Lafayette. I mean, it's obviously not going to be as big as Houston, but I think there's going to be a pretty good amount of people in the stadium. And I think Texas State's going to win. I think they're going to lose by 10. It'll be a double-digit loss, but I think we'll see some really good things in that game. And we're right up against our second break. When we come back, we should have Coach Soto on the line for every Wednesday, the Coach Soto Show here on KTSW 89.9. But before we go, Eddie, what's it feel like outside?
All right, so it feels like 89 degrees outside. It's actually 83 right now. It's partly cloudy. The highs for today is 90 degrees, and the lows is 70. Right now, there's an 11-mile-hour-per-wind coming from the south, and it's not really humid, unless you call 70% a lot of humidity.
That's a lot of humidity, buddy. That's a lot of humidity. All right, newsflash, it's humid outside. It's going to stay that way. All right, guys, on the other side of this break, we should have Coach Soto on the line for the Coach Soto Show, talk a little San Marcos High School football, and then we'll talk some Texas State volleyball, Texas State soccer, round it out with some professional talk. This you're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
This is David Mayo, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio on 89.9 KTSW.
And welcome back. When we left, we were talking some Texas State football. Their game against Lafayette coming up this weekend. Now it's that part of the show where we're going to talk a little San Marcos High School football. The Rattlers are coming off a win over Del Valle, overtime win over Del Valle last Friday. They are now 2-0 in district play. They're playing Maynard, who is 1-6, 0-2 in district this Friday at 7:30 at home. That game We'll be right here on KTSW 89.9. And while we wait for Coach Soto to call in, guys, let's talk a little bit about these two teams. The Rattlers defensively. Brendan, I know you did a piece on it. That is going to be up on the KTSW blog about this Rattler defense because it is really coming alive. I mean, big plays in the second half of that Del Valle game held them scoreless through two quarters and an overtime period. I mean, this defense is playing out of their minds.
Yeah, and coming off the week before that against Aikens, they only gave up 3 points the whole game. They had a big goal line stand in that game when Aikens got inside the 10 at first and goal. They stopped them 4 times, got the turnover on downs. And they're just all over the place. And I was able to talk to Coach Rodriguez, the defense coordinator, and he was talking about how those guys, it's a big team effort right now, and it's not even about their scheme or the adjustments they're making. It's about just everyone's committing, everyone's playing hard.
He said it's not about the adjustments.
Really, he talked about the adjustment in that Del Valle game.
Because he made a huge adjustment. He put 4 down linemen instead of just having 3.
Yeah, he said it. We don't have the audio right now, but it's in my my article. It will be on the website later.
Which I encourage you guys to read.
And you guys will be able to hear him say, it doesn't matter if I put 4 or 5 guys down there. Just everyone was committing, and their older guys were leading him.
And that's right. Kobe Vadreen was extremely impressive in that game. Prudy Calderon, impressive as always. They've got some guys really stepping up in Francisco Martinez, Gabe Urita, these defensive linemen. Jordan Owens, who's kind of an undersized linebacker, he's coming in. He's playing extremely well. The offense has been shaky. I use shaky lightly because they're still putting up points, but it's just not as prolific as it was last year. It's more of a let Jamon Johnson do his thing and see if he can make a play, or which he usually does. I mean, the guy's averaging like 6 yards a carry, so you give it to him twice, you got a first down. And but Tyler Moreno, who has to be a huge part of this offense because they run a lot of RPOs, the run-pass option type of plays, and when he pulls that ball back to set up for a pass, he looks inaccurate. He's not hitting his marks as good. He's not – or as well. He's not – he doesn't look to be throwing with a whole lot of confidence. I'm curious to see what Coach Soto has to say about this because he just seems a little out of sync with his receivers.
Yeah, and we've seen it. Seems like he's missing a lot of throws high lately. And I was at their practice yesterday, and he made some big throws, of course, but there was also I still saw a couple of times missing some high.
I wonder if it's a mentality thing. If something's going on there, I don't
know.
That's
really what I was thinking.
Because there's got to be something going on within his helmet because the play calling is still the same. He's still working with the same receivers across Cuevas, Jordan Tapia, and Martinez. I mean, all these guys are still the same. They haven't moved anywhere, and they haven't put anybody new. They did put Avalon, who was new in there, and he as a receiver. And so, I mean, that's one different dynamic in it. But really, everything in that offense is the same. And I mean, they're a run team anyway, but they definitely have to have that passing game to alleviate some of that pressure on Jamon Johnson. Speaking of Jamon Johnson, leads the district with 945 yards, leads in touchdowns with 16.
Yeah, let's add up those. let's add 16 times 6.
What is so? What is that? I don't even want 72. 72.
Yeah, let's go to 72.
No,
no,
that is not 72. Oh my good.
Nobody listened to this right now.
It's 88. It's one more. It's 88.
What is 16 times 6? It's 96.
96.
Goodness
like
gracious.
That, yeah, like that Adam was saying, if you want to get hired here at KTSW, you need to know math as well.
You have to know math. And this is, oh, man.
Anyways, it's a three-team tie for 2-0 in district.
Top four teams make the playoffs.
Okay.
So it's going
to
be
good to know, because I was wondering what that was looking like.
Well, in some districts, it's top three. Some, it's top four. It really depends on your classification. But being in 6A, San Marcos, they're looking at four spots. And so we obviously knew they were going to make the playoffs. That was never really a question, because this district is a lot weaker than the one they came from. But it's Bowie, Anderson, San Marcos, and really that fourth spot is the one that's up in the air. I'm thinking Del Valle might take that
one.
Yeah,
I was thinking that too.
I'm thinking they're the favorite over Aikens and Maynard. They do play Maynard this week, and these past two games have been kind of interesting because they're kind of trap games. Del Valle almost caught them slipping because they're looking ahead. They're obviously looking at Bowie and Anderson instead of looking at Del Valle and Maynard, who are the bottom teams in the district. They could have slipped up. They could have let Del Valle win, and that adds a whole new element to the district if Del Valle picks up a win over San Marcos.
Yeah.
Then they could be looking at that third spot.
And Maynard tried to rally back against Bowie. They were scoreless in the first half, and then they score 21 unanswered points to Bowie. So they lost that 37-21. But again, making it a close game late. I don't know if this is a team that San Marcos has faced before, where a team tries to rally in the fourth quarter. I don't know if
well,
because you know, Del Valle kind of did that in some sort.
But then
they go to overtime.
Yeah, but that was more San Marcos rallying than anything, which shows a lot more to me than if another team tries to rally and they put them in their place. That Del Valle game was that one you have to chalk up to the defense, because the way they played in the second half, I mean, they were getting ran all over, and the offense was not doing them any favors at all. I mean, they had a fumble recovery that led to two straight touchdowns before the half, and then Tyler Moreno gets lucky with this Hail Mary to the end zone that gets bobbled around and gets caught and goes into the end zone for a lucky touchdown. I mean, you take that play away, and we could be talking about something totally different today. So, you know, a lot of things happened for San Marcos to win that game, and they kind of stole one from Del Valle that they really shouldn't have won. But this game against Maynard's athletic, they're big, they're fast, but they're not very disciplined, they're not very coordinated.
Yeah.
This is where San Marcos' up-tempo offense and their disciplined style of defense can really take effect instead of having to rely on just Jamon Johnson making plays.
Yeah, and Maynard comes into this game with a 5-game losing streak. So again, not maybe the team that they kind of want to be at this point of the district play. But Maynard does come in with 5 losses before this game. Another game that I like to point out is Anderson and Bowie. Anderson plays at Bowie. That's gonna split the first place in district. So after that, it's going to be San Marcos, hopefully, and some other team.
Well, those last two games of the district schedule for San Marcos are obviously the most important. That last home game, that could be the district championship. And so this week, you're right, is extremely important, because now we get to see what these two top teams are doing against each other. This district has not really blown up yet. There hasn't been a big game. It's kind of been easing into it. There isn't a whole lot of controversy, a whole lot of exciting play going on. Everything's kind of just moseying along. I mean, San Marcos has the easiest district start than anybody, because they start against Aikens, Del Valle, then Maynard. Then they go on to play Anderson and Bowie. So we're really not going to see what this district is made of until, you're right, Eddie, this Friday, when Anderson and Bowie go at it. I mean, San Marcos isn't even going to see Anderson until next week.
Yeah, and then another game's in district, Del Valle at Aikens. That's going to be tomorrow. This is going to be a Thursday game. So, again, if you're a fan of district play, there's definitely good games going on this weekend.
And you can also definitely catch the San Marcos game right here on KTSW. That'll be on Friday. Kickoff is at 7:30. Pregame will start about 7:15. Be sure to tune in to that one. Looking at Maynard a little bit, 1-6, like we said, they started off against some really tough opponents. They played Rouse and then previous district opponent Bastrop, and they beat Bastrop 35-18.
That's a good team.
I mean, I'm from that area, and so I know Bastrop up close and personal. They are not as good as they used to be. Back in the day, they used to be really good.
That's what I was talking
back
about.
Back in the day when they had he played quarterback at UTSA for a while. I can't think of his name. It'll come back to me at some point. I'll probably tweet it later. And then they play Hendrickson, LBJ Austin, Corsicana, and then, of course, they just lost to Anderson and then Bowie. So they had a really tough schedule coming into this. So we need to be careful with this team, because we're not sure what they're capable of doing. They're a pass-heavy team, 167 yards per game through the air, 112 rushing yards. They've thrown 7 interceptions, and they've sacked teams 14 times already this season. Their starting quarterback is Seth Slagle, and he's thrown for over 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. QB rating of 54.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to the defense to have another big game this week.
This is an Austin Castillo, Prudy Calderon dream, a interception-heavy team, because the only thing is, and we saw this in the Del Valle game, those defensive backs are undersized. Between Deshaun Perry Brown and DeMarcus Hall on the outside, between them, they're 5'7 and 5'9. These are not, and we saw that because Del Valle had huge receivers. They had two outside, both Washington. And that's where they got those two touchdowns, just goal line fades, and just could not. It was good coverage, just couldn't keep up because of the size differential. So that is something that they're going to have to look out for. Some receivers to look out for. is the senior, Michael Foster, 19 receptions for 291 yards, 3 touchdowns. And then Miller Jr., Kenny Miller Jr., another senior, 19 receptions, 4 touchdowns, 192 yards. So, I mean, this is a pass-heavy team. They really, really like to get the ball out. A lot of senior receivers, Cameron Harrison, 31 receptions, 400 yards, only 1 touchdown. So this secondary is definitely going to have to be on their assignments against this team.
And that's after coming off 2 games where you'd say their opponent in Del Valle and Aikens ran heavy.
Oh, so power running. They're going to line it up, I formation running down your throat. So it's definitely going to be a change of pace for them, one that I think really helps them out.
Yeah, and again, I mean, San Marcos will be playing Manor at home. So if you have not gone, again, I encourage you.
Home field advantage is
home
huge for the
advantage,
Rattlers.
Home field advantage, wear your purple, wear your white. You know?
Not purple, gray. Yeah, white. Yeah, we can do white. It's fine.
You wear purple to the game.
I do. Yeah. I do. Well, I mean, that's
true. You kind of have to. Yeah.
I kind of have to. Well, we'll see if Coach Soto is going to call in later to the show. But for now, let's go ahead and transition into Texas State volleyball. Eddie, you mentioned it earlier. They're on cruise control. I don't know. They've only played 7 Sunbelt games. I don't know if you're on cruise control yet. They have to play Little Rock and Arkansas State again.
Yeah.
In Arkansas. So I don't know if they're on cruise control yet. I mean, Coach Chisholm definitely going to tell you that they're not on cruise control, but they definitely look really good. 13-9 overall, 6-1 in the Sun Belt. They lead the Western Division of the Sun Belt Conference, and they hold tiebreakers over Arkansas State and Little Rock as of now until they play them later on in the season. We'll see what goes on then. They're on a 4-game winning streak. They just beat UTA. Eddie mentioned earlier they traveled to Georgia this weekend to play Georgia State and Georgia Southern. Friday-Saturday games. That's interesting. Back-to-back road games just like that. I mean, so they play Friday, get on a bus, and then play Saturday.
And coming off of 8 days of rest, too, that's when you get into that discussion of rest versus rest.
Yeah, we talked about that on Monday. Is the rest a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I'm usually not for rest. I don't like it. I like, you know, obviously you want 1 or 2 days off, but 8 days is a long time. But because they play 2 games back-to-back, it may not be a bad thing. It may see a little rust in that first game, but by that second game, they should be clicking on all cylinders. Micah Dinwiddie made some history the other day on Monday, won Defensive Player of the Week for the first time as a freshman in the Sun Belt Conference. No other freshman has ever done that, won Defensive Player of the Week since they went to that 4-award weekly system of Defensive Player of the Week, Setter, Offensive, and then Freshman of the Week. Micah Dinwiddie won Freshman of the Week and Defensive Player of the Week. She's playing insane. 31 a career high in digs against UTA.
Yeah, she's electric. You know, you like to think that we found a new Sarah Smith.
Yep, that was a concern coming into the season.
Yeah, already. I think mid-season, this is a little bit past the mid-season now, but yeah, I think we have our new defensive specialist, libero, whatever you want to call it. And with that being said, you know, I have a conspiracy theory, and I'm going to go with that again.
Eddie always has these
Jordan
theories.
Cole, to me, she has not been playing.
Oh, no. Yeah,
And then Madison Daigle, too.
Yeah, she hasn't been playing either. But, I mean, Madison Daigle was, I mean, that's a little bit more accepted than Jordan Cole not playing.
Yeah, I mean Madison, she was your Sun Belt Player of the Year, or what was it?
She was freshman of the year, yeah.
Freshman of the year, and then, you know, you're a sophomore now. Why did things change, you know?
Well, it could be a number of things. Number one, Megan Porter is playing out of her mind.
Yeah.
And that is her position as that outside hitter. And Megan Porter is playing the right side. Madison Daigle is in the middle.
She was in the middle.
Is in the middle, but still. And also Lauren Kirch is playing a lot, playing extremely well. I just don't think there's any room. There's not any room between Aaron Hoppe, Lauren Kirch, Megan Porter, Kelsey Winan. I mean, all these guys are playing really well. You can't take anybody out.
Yeah, and I was talking to Miracle Robinson, if you're listening, you know, we miss you. Anyway, so I was talking to Miracle, and we were saying, what if Daigle was a secret weapon? What if Coach Chisholm has her under her wing and, like, all right, well, Sun Belt Conference tournament is going to start. Let's put you in there. And now she comes and tears that, you know, we don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, I mean,
we
talked about that early on, that she could be somebody that they're just kind of waiting to put in there. You never know.
But again, I mean, Texas State volleyball, maybe not on cruise control, like I was saying. I would really want, a Texas State team to be on that. Definitely not soccer, which is what I want to get into. a little bit. Texas State Soccer will be facing the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks this Sunday at noon. It's a win or go home kind of atmosphere again. Might be one of my last calls for any game.
So it's kind of a senior day for everybody.
It's a senior day for everybody. So it's senior day again, celebrations, fireworks, maybe not fireworks, but
fireworks. Probably not fireworks.
Sunday afternoon. Anyway, so Texas State 3-5, Monroe 3-4. Whoever wins gets to stay and gets that position, that eighth position in the assembled conference tournament.
And there's a lot of seniors on this soccer team. Of course, the one and only Lauren Prater. This will be her last home game as a Bobcat. Clarissa Leon, Taylor Allen, Allie Jones, Maddie Nichols. I mean, these are names that we've been calling for a long, long time. Those are the seniors that will be honored at the game on Sunday, and that will be their last game at the Bobcat Soccer Complex in San Marcos. So if you can't make it out to the game, we'll have you here on KTSW. Eddie will be on the call for that one. But I definitely encourage you to go out there and see these seniors for the last time. I mean,
expect a lot of offense.
They have everything to lose. So they're going to be playing for everything. They're playing to keep their season alive. I mean, if they lose to UL Monroe, they are done. Done. And then that means they lose on a 5-game losing streak. And that is probably one of the worst ways to go out. It's similar to how the women's basketball team went out last year. They went on like a 6-game losing streak, but they still made the tournament. And then lost in the first round.
Yeah, on default. Yeah.
So this is going to have to be it. This is it. All the cards are on the table. Win or go home.
And you have to like the all that stuff kind of going for the Bobcats. You know, it's being their senior day. It's being let's not lose 5 straight and go home. And you know, our season's over. Maybe our soccer career is over for some of the seniors.
Yeah, expect a lot of long balls as well, long shots. You're gonna see a lot of that. You're gonna have a lot of Genesis Terman, for sure. She's a defensive player, but she's the one that scored the goal against Troy. So again, with that being said, you know, Coach Connor is definitely gonna move stuff around just to get that offense prolific again and see what it is, because the offense is obviously there. I just think they're just not on target. So. Maybe that train gets going again. But again, you know, Sunday at noon, I will be on the call. Texas State Soccer Coach Connor, her comeback. We'll see.
So, you just heard it. If you can't make it to the game right here on KTSW 89.9, game starts at about 12 o'clock. Pre-game will start about 11:45, 11:50, somewhere in there. So be sure to tune in to KTSW for that time. We're up against our last and final break of Bobcat Radio, but before we go, I gotta let you know that Bobcat Radio is supported by the University Bookstore. The University Bookstore is everything you need, from school supplies, textbooks, and all of your official Bobcat merchandise. Located at the LBJ Student Center, the University Bookstore has it all. So, last break, and then we're back on Bobcat Radio here on KTSW 89.9.
This is David Mayo, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio on 89.9 KTSW.
Welcome back to the final 10 minutes of the best hour of your day. Texas State is what we were talking about. The soccer team game against UL Monroe this Sunday. Possibly their last regular season game of the year. This is win or go home for the Sun Belt Conference title. Our Sun Belt Conference Champions or tournament. So be sure to listen to that one. In the last 10 minutes here, I want to talk about... Well, actually, more of Eddie wants to talk about. I want to talk about it too. Everybody wants to talk about it. Okay.
All right, let's all
so
talk about it.
On here, you have Title IX. Okay, and I think that's a very interesting topic. Yeah, go ahead. Well, I'll let you lead this one in.
All right. So Title IX. My question was the other day was, okay, why doesn't Texas State have a men's soccer team? I know the Sun Belt Conference hosts a men's soccer tournament. So we definitely have the conference to do it in, and I asked myself, okay, why? And I made some research, and it appears that if you have a scholarship for men, you have to equalize it with a scholarship for women. So I didn't know that.
Okay, well, I mean, that makes sense. That's fair. Everything's fair.
So if anybody wanted to add men's soccer, you have to come out with a sport for women that we have to add for Texas State. So I can't really think of any.
What led you to think, what sparked the interest in this?
I think there's a lot of soccer fans out there, but soccer is a huge sport. But maybe not women's soccer. Maybe not women's collegiate soccer. I don't know if it's just me. But I know some of the reporters were, like, talking about Arsenal, and they were talking about Real Madrid and Barcelona and all that.
So you're talking that there is the fan base there, there's so why not just do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there's a fan base. Maybe tap into that.
I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah, maybe women's bowling, maybe.
Maybe women's bowling? Okay.
Maybe women's bowling.
We probably wouldn't cover it.
I feel like some kind of... you have to get a bigger sport than that because you have to generate so many scholarships.
Yeah,
that's very true. That's very true. How many scholarships can you get for bowling? I mean, really? I mean, do bowling teams even have scholarships?
Yeah, you need 15. Well, Arkansas State is actually the NCAA champion.
So you're telling me if I spent my whole high school career, instead of trying to make good grades, if I just wanted to been a bowler, I could have I could have went to college on a bowling scholarship? Are you kidding me?
You have to be a woman first.
Ow. Well, darn it.
Yeah, well, there's also swimming. So there could be...
Okay, well, I'm not going to be a swimmer. I can tell you that right now.
There could also be women's swimming. I mean, if you add... I'm just saying soccer, but we can add men's swimming and women's swimming. I think swimming would be a good addition to Texas State.
Moving on. All right, let's talk about this controversy between Tony Romo and Dak Prescott. I think it's pretty obvious that you play Dak as much as possible because the man is playing out of his mind. But I understand, I see the other point of this is Romo's team, whatever, he's the starting quarterback. I just think he's had more injuries than he has had good games. No, I'm kidding. He's had a lot of good games. He is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
He is a really good quarterback. But if he can't stay healthy, then why try and put him on the field?
Brendan, I feel like you have, there we go.
Well, see, about last week, sitting in the same spot, I was all for... Let's get Romo's job back right away. Well, not right away. She's like, when he's healthy, when he's fully ready to go. After the performance in Green Bay, yeah, it's simple. Dak's winning. He should stay. But everyone should still believe that Tony Romo is the better quarterback. He gives you a better chance to win the big games.
Yeah.
I still think.
I don't think you have anything to lose.
I am super biased here, but I'm going to say Tony Romo needs to come back.
Why? Why? You're 5-1.
I think Tony Romo... comes back because when the Cowboys were nothing, when the Cowboys were going 8-8, it was the Jason Witten and it was the Tony Romo show.
And you went 8-8.
And you went 8-8. But then again, now you know it's unfair to tell Tony Romo, all right, we're going to sit you out because there's a Zeke Elliott now.
Too bad.
And you
so
have an
sad.
Offensive line that is working that can open gates. You know,
look, Tony Romo had plenty of opportunities. He didn't
have Ezekiel Elliott, and he didn't have that.
But
offensive
he had DeMarco
line.
Murray when they were the best rushing team in the league. He
never had a defense.
Oh, and they still don't have a defense.
The defense is actually
decent.
Ranked much higher than they should be.
They're decent.
They're playing better than they should be.
But I think Dak is still the driving force of them winning football games.
Ask Jordy Nelson if we have a good defense.
I don't care what Jordy Nelson did. I mean, this Dallas football team is 5-1 with Dak Prescott. So why would you change the dynamic and put Tony Romo into that situation?
Well, I mean, Tony Romo's last 19 games, he's 15-4.
That's great.
That's really great.
That's great. Dak's 5-1.
So I mean, you don't know what you could be missing. You could be missing nothing. Like Dak could keep it going, or you could be missing out on
blowouts. Yeah,
or
bigger games.
You could leave Dak in. I mean, I have no problem with Dak staying in. I understand why you would want to put Tony Romo back because you obviously want to go over veteran over Dak over a rookie.
The quarterback situation in Dallas is very controversial right now because you have Dak Prescott doing you know the Lord's work. And then you have
the Lord's work.
And then you have Sanchez and Romo just
don't mention Sanchez. Leave Sanchez out
just
of this.
Just chatting around and Sanchez, you know, making best friends here with Dak. I think you should just leave Dak alone.
Sanchez is sitting there just having a great time. Anyway, moving on. Eddie, you have thank you Redskins on here. What does that mean?
All right, so the Redskins won, and now that means that we're gonna take the division. So
because the Redskins won,
yeah.
What? Why does
because they knocked the Eagles out.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you, Redskins. Shout out Josh Norman. Shout out Miracle Robinson, Redskins fan. There you go. I want to talk NBA a little bit because that starts next week. There's a bunch of rumors going around that the Spurs might trade LaMarcus Aldridge if things don't go well. They say that the project hasn't worked out really well. It's been 1 year.
Yeah, that hit me in the face yesterday.
It's been 1 year. I mean, this guy's still an all. He was an all-star last year.
Yeah, and he's putting up those back-to-back 40-point games in playoffs.
And you just got rid of Tim Duncan. Well, they didn't get rid of him, but Tim Duncan just stepped down. You just went and got Pau Gasol, where he could play the five. Now L.A. can play the four like he wants to.
But I saw yesterday also. It said Aldridge wasn't happy with. He was told he's going to be the number one guy. He feels like he's not with Leonard and Pau. I guess he.
Who told him he was going to be the number one guy?
I guess that was the pitch to him.
Who said that?
He said that was their main pitch to bring him to San Antonio.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's pretty obvious that it's not. I mean, Kawhi is the number one guy on this team. Kawhi is it. He is the number one. This guy is an all-star. He's going to be an all-star again this year because he is the leader of this team, and he will be that guy, okay?
Aldridge is going to stay, guys.
Aldridge is going to stay. I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
He's not leaving anywhere.
Now, an interesting part of this, though, is I think if you're going to trade him, if San Antonio did want to trade him, they would have to do it now. L.A. is obviously on the latter half of his career. He's getting older. He's still valuable. Obviously still valuable. He can give you double-digit scoring nights and a high shooting percentage.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Could you get something good for him? The point guard spot is looking real slim. DeJounte Murray looks good, but he's a rookie. Okay? Tony Parker's old.
That doesn't matter. Murray's going to tear up this league.
I don't know about all that. I think, in a couple years he'll look really good. I mean, you look at the point guards that have come through the San Antonio system have turned into really good point guards. George Hill, Tony Parker, if Tony Parker went anywhere else, he wouldn't have been, I don't think he would have been anything.
Corey Joseph
now plays with Toronto. I mean, he's been really good. So, I think DeJounte Murray will turn into something. I don't think he's going to be much this year. So, but what could you get for LA?
What kind of market is there for LaMarcus Aldridge? I mean, he's a great player, but I don't know. Is a contender trading for LaMarcus Aldridge? Is a rebuilding team
trading for LaMarcus Aldridge? He's going to go back to Portland. Like, come on. Like, that's...
Well, if we get Damian Lillard for him, then yeah. Send him to Portland.
I think we'll probably get him for money.
Money? What do you mean money?
Money. The Spurs need money.
The Spurs don't need money. We're fine.
The Spurs are going to get a second round pick and make that guy a future Hall of Famer.
All right, well, that's the end of our show. We're
going to end on that.
We'll be back. We'll be back on Friday, 11 to 12, right here, Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9. Please stay tuned in for your news update, and thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out the recap of this show on our blog at ktswblog.net. You